Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton buried the hatchet weeks ago, but the tension from their primary race lives on, at least in one New York congressional district. In Brooklyn, a black congressman who supported Senator Clinton is facing an unusual primary challenge from an Obama supporter who made his name on MTV as the star of a reality show. NPR's Robert Smith has the story.
Kevin Powell does not wait for voters to come over to him.
How you doing, my dude? Kevin Powell running for Congress.
Get within 30 feet of the man, and he'll rush over to talk to you.
You look beautiful like you're here.
On this day, he's working a corner in the Bedford-Stuyvesant neighborhood of Brooklyn. But it's like this every morning and every night for Powell. He's trying to unseat a 13-term congressman, Ed Towns, and he's got to show some hustle.
Because they called me the kid, a lot of the old-school black electors in New York. And guess what? I'm 42. Good morning, Kevin Powell running for Congress.
It's hard not to think of Kevin Powell as a kid. 16 years ago, he became famous on MTV's first season of The Real World.
My next roommate was Kevin. I almost fainted. I was like, my God, what is this, Fantasy Island?
They still replay the episodes, and people still recognize him on the street.
Every first episode, right?
Yes, man, first season.
Yeah.
What you watching the MTV for?
Because y'all were on it.
Okay. God bless you.
Since then, Powell has been a journalist covering hip-hop, a community organizer, and a motivational speaker. He usually gets paid to talk about himself, but on this street corner, he mostly wants to talk about his opponent.
Mr. Towns does not show up for work. You know, he's been in office for 25 years. He's gotten very comfortable. You know, the fact that he's missed about 1,000 votes since 1993 says that this man does not take his job seriously, nor does he take the people of this community seriously.
Powell and Towns don't disagree on many issues. They're both liberal Democrats in a mostly African-American congressional district. But as Powell likes to point out, Congressman Towns supported Clinton in the primary, while the district went for Obama.
Barack has really opened the floodgates of black people in this country, in this community, saying, you know what, enough of people telling us who we're going to vote for. We're going to vote for who we feel is the best candidate. You know?
And so Powell says it's time for a member of the hip-hop generation to represent Brooklyn in Congress. He doesn't just pass out flyers on the street. He has a mix CD of rap music combined with excerpts of his best speeches.
Yes, we need to say it. Racism is alive and well in America. Again, I'm clear that America is not the country it used to be. Not the country it used to be.
If Kevin Powell wants to represent hip-hop, then his opponent is the gospel candidate. Last Sunday, Congressman Ed Towns gave the sermon at the Grace Baptist Church in East New York. And although it wasn't billed as a campaign speech, it was easy to hear a little contempt for his much younger opponent.
We are raising a generation of young people who want everything right now. And that is a serious problem, church. They want instant everything. They simply do not want to wait.
Towns is 74 years old. 2 years ago, he barely eked out a win in the primary, and he admits that perhaps he hasn't been the best at communicating his successes.
I have not been a guy who pushed and tried to get in front of cameras, and I have probably not even talked about a lot of the things I've done.
Is there some bitterness about your support for Hillary Clinton in this district?
Well, there's some people that are upset about it, but here again, you know, my word is my bond. I gave her my word. And even before I even knew Barack Obama was going to be a candidate, yes, there's some feelings, but the point is that we're working through that.
Outside the church, you can see the advantage of being the incumbent. Congressman Towns has sponsored a street fair with free health screenings and free barbecue dinner. And everyone here knows who to thank. Marie Adams moves in to shake his hand.
Of course, I know Ed Towns is doing a great job, and he's experienced.
Even though Barack Obama's mantra of change is in the air here in Brooklyn, it's still an uphill climb for Kevin Powell. There's no harder electoral trick than unseating an incumbent in a primary. The real world of politics might just trump the real world on TV. Robert Smith, NPR News.
There are probably a few cars that you'd recognize just by hearing them come down the street, but this throaty rumble is unmistakable. The Harley-Davidson motorcycle engine. It's a sound some people love, some people hate. People have been hearing it, at any rate, for more than a century. Harley is celebrating its 105th anniversary this month in Milwaukee by opening a museum. The company isn't just looking back. It's trying to bring in new customers and keep its iconic brand alive. Annalise Henzel of member station WUWM in Milwaukee reports.
Harley-Davidson got its start in a shed in Milwaukee when the founders attached a motor to what was essentially a bicycle frame. Over the next few decades, the design evolved and the motorcycles grew in popularity. But it took the Second World War to really put the company on the map. An exhibit at the Harley-Davidson Museum features Army Green Harleys with large holsters designed to carry Tommy guns. The newsreel shows soldiers learning to ride.
Training motorcycle dispatch riders for the U.S. Army, one of the toughest, most grueling forces in the service.
Jim Fricke is Harley-Davidson's curatorial director.
They built almost 90,000 of these bikes, and they trained a lot of people to ride. They left bikes all over the world, and it kind of was almost a little Johnny Appleseed thing in the 40s and the 50s as people began to take these military surplus vehicles and customize them.
Fricke says that was the start of the chopper culture. Bikers removed or chopped off military features, then added personal touches like custom handlebars and seats. The outlaw persona also took hold, fueled by rowdy biker groups and numerous Hollywood portrayals of snarling motorcycle riders. But it's not just the image that's attracted customers over the years.
It's a rumble of pipes. It's a sound of a machine. It's just awesome. It takes my breath away.
That's Scott Schapowski, a 36-year-old printing plant worker who started riding at age 5 as a passenger on his dad's Harley. Schapowski is hanging out today at a Harley-Davidson display at an outdoor music festival, admiring the latest models. Across town at the House of Harley-Davidson dealership, a new rider is joining the family. 61-year-old Jim Klutschka is a Vietnam veteran and retiree and has traveled here from Tennessee to buy his bike in Harley's birthplace.
They always hold the resale value. Say down the road, something happens to me, I get crippled up, I can get most of my money back out of it.
Klatschka signs his paperwork, then rings a bell, signaling that he's ready to pick up the bike. Sales manager Rob McDonald says you'd be surprised who's riding a Harley.
It could be your doctor that you're going to go see this weekend. It could be your dentist. It could be your teacher. So maybe that's what everybody likes about the mystique of Harley-Davidson.
With a median age of a Harley rider pushing 50, McDonald says they have to attract younger riders who are often drawn to faster, quieter, imported motorcycles. Potential customers like 17-year-old Dakota Warren, who at the festival's display is admiring one of Harley's retro-look bikes. He's more interested in the Harley-Davidson look and sound than speed.
I mean, speed. You can get pulled over, get your lights taken away, whatnot. Sound, they tell you to make it a little bit quieter. Whoop-de-doo.
And the spiky-haired teen with braces says people have told him he'd look pretty cool on a Harley, and that's just what Harley executives want to hear. For NPR News, I'm Annalise Henzel in Milwaukee.
And you can go to Harley Hog Heaven by visiting our website, npr.org. Amy Winehouse has more tattoos than most Hell's Angels, including a lightning bolt, the horseshoe, and pinup girls. Now most of them are on display on her new wax figure, which was unveiled this week at Madame Tussauds in London. The wax Winehouse is also adored with her tottering beehive hairdo, 5-inch heels, and a yellow mini-dress of the kind she wore when she won Best Female Solo Artist at the 2007 Brit Music Awards. Since that time, Ms. Winehouse has become more famous for her personal travails, including reported drug use, public drunkenness, and run-ins with the law. But her parents, Mitch and Janice Winehouse, were at Madame Tussauds for the unveiling, and where some people would see just a 6-foot-tall wax figure of a troubled celebrity, they saw the 24-year-old daughter who has an extraordinary gift for singing soul music like no one else. They told reporters, this is their reward for her musical achievements and her talent.
Yes. And today's last word in business comes from Hasbro, the toy company that's been struggling with an online knockoff of its classic board game Scrabble. Scrabulous has become a phenomenon on the social networking site Facebook. But after failing to shut it down, the company came up with this word, S-U-E. Yesterday, Hasbro filed suit against the two brothers in Calcutta, India, who came up with Scrabulous. It's claiming intellectual property infringement. By the way, Scrabulous has about 500,000 players, which dwarfs the number of Scrabble's official online game.